Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast, and today we're doing another Freedom Friday episode. We haven't done these in a while, but I wanted to highlight one of the students in our course who is really doing pretty impressive things, and he's a pretty impressive guy, and so I just really wanted to have you on here. Welcome, John Grant, to the show.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me on.
I don't know what we're going to name this, but, you know, we like to clickbaity, so you've done over 700,000 in sales in your first 9 months, which is impressive, right? We could name it that. We could name it, you did 300K, a lot of it around Black Friday in November. We could name it something like that. But really, it's to me, it's your journey of where you came from to where you are that is super, super impressive. And I hope in this show we can highlight you're just a regular dude, man. Like literally a regular dude who somehow we have like weird ties to our past where we probably crossed paths. We were probably moshing in the same mosh pit and we had no idea that someday we would, you know, come do this again. It's kind of cool, man.
Yeah. Shout out to With Dead Hands Rising, a band we went on tour with who you almost played in a band with, I guess, almost way back 20 years ago or something. So,
yeah, so I'm playing. Shout out Dan Coppy, like the greatest drummer I've ever seen live. I don't know where Dan Coppy is nowadays, but you can go on Apple Music and find With Dead Hands Rising, you know, buyer beware here of what you're about to listen to. It's pretty, you know, intense. But the drummer, man, he's incredible. So it's cool that you super went to got to see him live. Like he was good to watch. He was a good show too.
Yeah, super good drummer, super good dude. All those guys are great guys. I came home from tour with half a hot dog in my Tylenol container. You know, they just kind of would hide little fun things for you to find later. So stupid fun stuff like that.
So it's funny, like people probably don't know, right? I've talked about my dreadlocks photo, but I was in a band. I might use it's called like Distro Kid or something like that. It's like $20 a year to put your band up on Apple Music, and so I might put it up there just for like a place to house it rather than, you know, just in my Apple Music or on my hard drive. But I'd love to just share it, like whatever. And is your old band? What's the name of your old band?
That time period, it was Amora Savant. We were. Okay. Milwaukee.
Is that on Apple Music?
It's on Spotify. You can find it there.
We go.
A bunch of the bands I played in are on Spotify, but yeah, I don't play in any bands.
Are you collecting those pennies?
Someone is collecting fractions of a cent somehow, yeah, nice. For the hundreds of listens we're getting. So
hundreds.
I mean, we're like pretty important band, like, you know, back in 2005 for like a year or two, and then, you know, band breaks up and typical story that way. So
but it's interesting that, like, you know, that's where I started when I, so weird timing, I went to our old DJ's mom's funeral yesterday. I saw him, I haven't seen him in a long time. Last time I saw him was another funeral, which is, you know, kind of what happens when you get older, unfortunately. But I saw him at the funeral and he's like, hey, what are you doing nowadays? And I told him everything that I've been doing. And he was like, oh, that makes a ton of sense. I'm like, what do you mean that makes a ton of sense? He's like, you were the one writing all the music, booking all the shows, handling the website. You were doing it. And I was just like, yeah, well, someone had to do it, right? And he's like, yeah, but you wanted to do it. You, like, craved doing that stuff. You always were thinking about how we got bigger and got bigger. We were all just like, it's cool, we're playing these shows, and this music's awesome. That's great. And you were always like, how do we do this? And you went and bought, like, I bought the band van, and we spray painted it black, which was pretty lame. But, like, he saw that in me. And so, like, do you think, you know, looking back, you being in a band had any, like, entrepreneurial tendencies whatsoever?
That's really interesting to think about, because I wasn't the guy in the band who was, like, booking the shows and promoting it and doing all the businessy type stuff. Like, our singer or vocalist was doing that. But looking back on it, maybe it was a business. Like, we had a band fund, we played shows, we used it to pay for gas to get to the next show. We had merchandise, we, you know, we sold CDs, all that stuff. So we had to pay for recording. It was essentially, you know, a business, even though at the time when we were in our early 20s, we weren't really thinking of it that way. Or at least I wasn't. I was focused on playing guitar and just, you know, writing sick riffs. But, you know, that was a... looking back at it, that was kind of the first foray into entrepreneurship. And then it does seem like somewhat logical, you know, to get where I am today.
Yeah, I don't think I could have put together the signs. You know, looking back, I had a paper route at 10, like a paper route at 10 years old. And I mowed every lawn in the neighborhood and I was doing everything I could, flipping pogs. Do you remember pogs at all?
I do.
Flipping pogs at school. And like, I had all these little signs that no one I was surrounded with would recognize, including the band stuff. Did you? Or did you have any side hustles back in the day? Look, I was selling marijuana back in high school too. I've done a lot of weird stuff. But like
some of that,
anything stand out to you? Or was there something where you were like, had these little flashes of entrepreneurship and you didn't know it? Or is this all new to you?
It's all really new, honestly. I mean, I would cut lawns. You know, I'd hustle through the neighborhood and ring doorbells and see who wanted their lawns cut, that kind of thing. But I wasn't selling baseball cards. I wasn't doing like Gary Vee type stuff where he was just like always a hustler from like a very young age. So not really, man. I brewed beer professionally for 12 years before I got into this. And the reason I got into brewing beer was because I wanted to open a brewery. So that was always something that was on my mind throughout the years. And it just kept getting pushed back and pushed back. And it kind of almost happened. One time I met a really rich guy who wanted to do it and someone else. And we drew up a business plan and we were meeting every week for months and months. And we almost got to the point where we almost started making it happen. And then it all kind of fell apart. And it's weird when I think back to that, you know, because working in a brewery is cool, but it's a lot of menial labor. You're waking up really early. You're working really late. It's crazy hours. When I started meeting with them and talking about starting a brewery, it was the first time I really felt like alive, and my brain just kind of felt like activated. And I was like, oh, this feels different. Like this feels like what I should be doing. And then when that stopped happening and I went back to just, you know, brewing beer every day, I was like, oh, like I missed it. And I kind of put that out of my mind. There's just so many barriers to entry with opening a brewery. You need like at least $1 million. And there's so much, it's so capital intensive. You can't really make a ton of money. There's so much competition. It just seems so unachievable and insurmountable. And I just kind of gave up and I really had no idea how I would ever start a business. And then until I got into this, I realized, oh,
you're you can start a business. You're on the West Coast now. How much of the beer stuff is like the Wisconsin in you? Is that still the like, you know, we have more bars per capita in Wisconsin than anyone does. Certainly,
for sure.
You know, back when I was a young degenerate, I ingested my fair share of beers. Where did the love for like craft brewery come? Like, I quit drinking before that exploded, right? It was just, you know, it was Budweiser and Mick Golden Light, which half the people listening is probably don't know what a Mick Golden Light is. That's very a Midwest thing. That's all there was though, right? And so like, How did that even spawn? Is it the Wisconsin in you, or like where'd the beer love come from? Are you ready to finally take that next step? Finally start your business, make 2024 the year that you take a step forward in your life. Well, I'm going to make it super easy on you. We're running an end of the year sale and we're doing so for a few reasons. One, the price is going up next year. We are changing our prices. And two, because we are adding a bunch more to the course. So if you sign up now, you will get all of the extra stuff in the course at a price you will never see again. I could promise you that. We are updating the GA4 section, the Google Ad sections, a whole new SEO section, and a whole bunch of new videos from Layton, from Mindset Coach Valentina, and other people who are going to help us put content into this course. So if you're looking to get an edge on 2024, get access to that new content at a much lower price, and grab this course at a price you'll never see again, make sure you check out our end of year sale, dropshipbreakthrough.com/end of year, all one word, dropshipbreakthrough.com/end of year.
Yeah, definitely Wisconsin in me. Grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So Lakefront Brewery was there. They were huge. You know, if you're a college kid in the Milwaukee area, you definitely drink some Lakefront. And Spotted Cow is in every single bar, you know, and there's a bar in every single block. So you just see it around and you're like, what is this? Like, this isn't Miller High Life. So we started drinking that. And then I don't know what it was. It just kind of got more and more. And I was working at Trader Joe's at the time. And started being the beer buyer in that beer section and just learning about the beers and talking to customers every day. Just started really getting into it and started reading about it. Started home brewing and then eventually ended up working at Lakefront Brewery and became a brewer there and was working there for about a year until my girlfriend at the time really wanted to get out of Wisconsin. So I started applying to other jobs in the country and got a job out here in California 12 years ago and about 11 years ago actually now. So been out here ever since and continued to work in breweries until about a year ago. So
So how did you find High Ticket Dropshipping then? That does, like, this journey sounds all, first of all, you're a rock star, then you work at Trader Joe's, then you move to California. How on earth did you stumble into High Ticket Dropshipping?
It's really, really strange when I think about it. So I decided I didn't want to brew beer anymore. I kind of lost the passion for that. Like I said, after the business potential kind of fizzled out, I just kind of was going through the motions and, you know, was a head brewer at this place. It was a really good brewery the last few years, but I just got burned out. It was long hours and I have two kids now. So brewing beer is really fun when you're in your late 20s, early 30s. But then when you're like, when you hit 40 and you got little kids at home, it's just, I don't know, it's just not really what I wanted to do anymore. So I put in my 2 month notice and I got out and I had zero idea what I was going to do. I thought I was going to maybe get a job as a coffee roaster. It kind of seemed like a natural, you know, transition in the beverage industry. You know, I saw some parallels there. So I was thinking about that and then started talking to one of my best friends back home in Milwaukee, who is a tattoo artist, and he owns a tattoo shop in Milwaukee. And we started talking and you know, I always had an idea of starting a, you know, like a tattoo based like clothing line. Like he's been putting out t-shirts with his tattoo designs on them. So we started talking and he told me what drop shipping was. And I was like, he's like, you know, you can print them yourself. You can do all that work and you ship them physically to the customer, or you can drop ship it and you literally do nothing. And the person orders it, it gets automatically fulfilled and gets shipped to the customer. And that was literally the first time I'd ever heard of drop shipping. This is back in October of 2022. So I just went down that rabbit hole and I ended up building a Shopify store. We started an LLC. We started a business, me and him. And, you know, I built the Shopify store. We launched in like Thanksgiving 2022 and we started selling sweatshirts and t-shirts and using Printify so it gets automatically fulfilled and drop shipped to demand, the customer. Right? Yeah, but it's like $25, $40, you know, items and you end up making like $5-$10 and we weren't spending any money on ads. So it was somewhat a little bit profitable. And then I don't know. I started researching more and into Apple Podcast. I just searched dropship and the dropship podcast came up with you and John. And I just started listening to that. And you had an episode where you actually compared high ticket dropshipping to print on demand. And you basically, you know, shit all over print on demand. And it made me realize like, they got a point, you know, I'd much rather be selling $1,000 plus items than thousands of $15 t-shirts, you know? So kind of started from there and learned what SEO was and learned all these other terms that I had zero idea about previously to that.
It's funny. I've got my own itch with print on demand. One, just like I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4", 300 pounds. Like that print on demand stuff never fits, right? So I can order the biggest shirt in the world, but it'll come like just over my belly button, especially after I wash it, right? It's too short. I have to find a tall shirt. It's very hard to find print on demand tall. And so you end up getting these like low quality things that don't fit super well, but they're all like cheeky, right? And so I know you can make cash doing this, right? Like if you have something that goes viral, like think back to when The Office was hot, the first person to put "that's what" and then dash "she" underneath it, right? Like that, I guarantee tons of people bought that shirt, right? And there's probably loads and loads of these. I think there's plenty of people, you know, maybe crossing the line of legal and not legal, stealing IP and putting things on shirts and things like that. But make a lot of sense. You've seen me on this podcast wearing a Randy Savage shirt. That is definitely a print on demand shirt. But it's hard to, again, it's hard for me to find one that's high enough quality, fits the way I want it to fit. And then, you know, thinking through a business model, like you kind of have to find a hit and then find another hit and then find, you know what I mean? Even if you have your own proprietary thing, you better have an audience to which you can sell that proprietary thing, right? And so it can be frustrating. Look, I just pulled you up over here in our back end. I didn't realize that you didn't become a course member until April of this year. Like, I don't think I even knew that. That's insane, man. When did you actually like start the business that you and I have worked on together?
So I started back, I did DSL, Dropship Lifestyle back in, you know, December, started there. But yeah, I mean, I really got started high ticket just finding your podcast probably back in November, but for whatever reason, I went for DSL and then, you know, launched the store February of 2023 and then immediately got my Google ad suspended and then was still making sales in Bing and doing all that. And eventually I kind of realized that, you know, I needed more help and you guys were providing a ton of value. And just like the three-tier shopping campaigns, like that was mind-blowing because I was doing the alpha beta at the time. I'm like, that is such a better way to do it. And that was a really good indication that there was more information that I wanted access to. So I started really revisiting the podcast and going back into what you guys were doing. And I realized like I need that course. So I signed up.
It's interesting. I saw the lower price on your thing and I was like, did we run a sale? No, that's the half price, right? So anyone who's taken another course, and believe me, we have lots of people in Dropship Breakthrough who started somewhere else, and that's fine. Like I'm just glad people are getting started, but it's crazy the amount of people who come here from Dropship Lifestyle, or you know, there's a few other you know air quote gurus out there that teach a half-assed version, and then the people end up coming over here because they find more value. And so it's crazy how many members of our community have done that. I think we have a comparison podcast we put on this feed before. If you're in one of those other courses listening to this and you're like, man, I kind of want to come over there too, just reach out to us. We literally have a code where you can get the course half price because you've already spent enough money. Come over here, learn some stuff, build a business, join our community. And so that's my little pitch. John, thank you for bringing that up. It's an interesting feeling, right? To, you know, to say you started somewhere else and you came here and I too took Dropship Lifestyle way back in 2015. Right. And so like, it's interesting coming from there and building something that, it's much, much bigger and like bigger and better. And like everything I've had to learn over the years, that's what's in Dropship Breakthrough. John too, right? So kind of crazy to hear your story coming from there. I don't think I remember that if I'm honest with you.
Yeah. I took that course. You guys gave me the Dropship Breakthrough half price and immediately saw results. I mean, you know, I bought it in April and then my ads came on back on track for Google in June, but it was just the conversion rate optimization stuff, the way to do Google ads, all the email marketing. There's just so much in the grow phase of it that the other course didn't have. And it's really exploded the business. It's been really awesome to see.
Well, I hope to dive into some of that because that's exactly what I was trying to reference, right? We've had to learn a lot of stuff that's in the course that really will help you grow your business, whether you're dropshipping or not. If I'm honest with you, it's just good marketing. And so I do want to ask, I wish I had some theme music to hop in here because I kind of want to play like a little bit of good niche, bad niche. I'm sure if you listen to the show, you've heard of it. John, have you heard of the good niche, bad niche before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Big time.
You're a former brewer. I've seen brewing kits come across in niche selection calls. We do a verification. If you're a member of our course, we'll verify the one that you chose and kind of give you advice on this. Again, another place we see actually other courses saying, yeah, this is a good one. And then we have to tell people, maybe go a different direction. I want to play that here with home brewing kits because that's not what you sell.
Right.
Logically, that had to be one of the first places your mind went to was brewing kegerator beer stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's play that game. Walk me through how you thought about it and why you're not selling that stuff.
So that was on my list. DSL has you come up with like 50 ideas and you whittle them down to the two or three you end up deciding your market over. So that was on the list. You run it through all the sets of criteria. I'm sure it's very similar to what Breakthrough does. And there wasn't a lot of drop shipping stores for brewing kits. And I mean, brewing kits in and of themselves are very inexpensive, maybe $50 to $100. So that right there, that price point, just getting started with a basic homebrew kits, not that interesting. What was interesting to me was you can do like brewing pilot systems. You can do fermenters that are $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $10,000, you know, small pilot brewing systems, $10,000, $20,000. There's a company in Milwaukee called SS Brewtech, and they make all that stuff. So I was definitely considering it. It could have been a brewing pilot consultant and then also sold the brewing equipment. So the reason I didn't want it, there weren't as many stores doing it. There were maybe two or three, which you wanted at least 5 or 10 to see if there was enough people doing it to make it viable. I mean, less competition seems like it'd be better in a lot of ways, but that kind of scared me off. And then it just didn't seem very dropship friendly. There'd be a lot of installation, a lot of questions, a lot of follow-up. That these systems are pretty complicated. It's not like a kayak or something, you know, it's not very self-explanatory. So, which I would be able to help them with having used these things, but it just, and also I just didn't want to be in that industry anymore. It would have been 12 years. I just want to do something completely different. And that was probably the main reason I didn't really go forward with it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if this is the case anymore, but I feel like a lot of other people teaching a similar business model to this want you to go find someone already doing it. Look at the brands they already sell. They must be drop shipping based on their address. And so let's just copy them and run with it. And like, to me, that is such a shitty, it's a shitty way to start a bit. Like, what are you doing? You're just chasing cash the same way low ticket drop shipping is chasing cash, the same way print on demand is chasing cash. And look, there's a time and place to chase some cash, but you should want to build a real business, and copying someone is not going to build you a real business. It's going to build you something that you're not in love with, and you have no drive to own the market, own your business, delight your customers. It's just not a good way to do business. So it's interesting that you went there, that you were like, I didn't see anyone else doing it, so there was no one to like obviously copy, kind of thing, you know. And look, I've looked into this industry before. There are some products, like you said, that fit the bill. I think you would have to somewhat give a crap, or at least want to learn how to give a crap to like who these people are, what are their concerns are, why they're starting a brewery, because they probably are doing a little mini brewery if they're buying some of these higher ticket products, and how do they work with them? What does installation look like? A lot of the knowledge you had. So even the fact that you had this and you didn't want to do it is telling to me. I'm not sure whether I would give it a good thumbs up or a good thumbs down on Good Niche, Bad Niche. What would you give it? If someone came to you, similar skill set to you, and thought about doing it, would you say hell yeah or hell no?
It depends, but I would say probably it's worth pursuing. You know, I just don't think there's enough producers either. You would probably only have like two or three brands, maybe five tops that I'm aware of that are really doing it on that level. But there could be more, there could have been more players, but I mean, it'd be more B2B as well, which is fine. But they're also, you know, people who want to have just, ticket,
right?
Yeah. Right. And then you're doing like smaller brew kits and stuff. But I mean, there are plenty of people that will spend thousands of dollars to have a fully automated, tricked out brewery in their garage, and they're just, you know, doing it for fun on the weekends. So I think there's definitely something there for sure.
Yeah, just think it would be a little lower ticket. You'd have to warehouse some of it in order to make it anywhere near profitable, and you know, some of the starter stuff. Mm-hmm. But some of that stuff you're going to sell over and over and over again too. So
true.
I don't know. It's a solid maybe, probably leaning towards no for me. But it's interesting that you didn't go there. I just wanted to touch on it. I thought that was kind of a cool little, you know, homage to a different podcast that we could kind of shove in the middle here and just see what you were thinking. Look, I want to know. So you found high tech drop shipping somewhere else. You came to us based on the podcast, which, you know, it's a common theme that we hear. People hear our podcast, they appreciate the value. They assume, hey, if there's this much value in the podcast, there must be more in the course. Sounds like you found that, which is great. Talk to me a little bit about your before state. Like, it's obviously a big leap for you to want to invest in a course in the first place. You just said you didn't even have a job at the time. So like, you know, that's a big investment. Talk to me what was going through your head before you started. Do you remember? Can you go back, you know, whatever, a year and remember, like, what were some of the doubts you had? What were some of the fears you had leading into you actually taking a plunge here?
Yeah, I mean, I was low-key freaking out. I mean, I knew for months that I was leaving my job, but I really didn't have time to think about what I wanted to do. I mean, if anything, I could just go back to Trader Joe's or something like that, you know, but which is a great place to work, by the way. I was really just on a journey to find something different. I was considering doing software, you know, just doing a boot camp thing at UC Berkeley and just learning a new skill. And, you know, like I said, I'm 40 now, so I'm going to start over. That would have been kind of the time to do it. So I was ready to really do anything. But when I stumbled on the idea of being my own boss and becoming an entrepreneur, kind of like how I always wanted to, this was just kind of like a no-brainer for me. And luckily we had some money saved up, so it wasn't like I was having to bring home money the next month kind of thing. So I was in a fortunate spot that way, and I was able to use that to just go all in and just work as hard as I could to make this work. Because for me, it had to work. Otherwise, I had to go back to doing something I really didn't want to do. So that was a huge motivator for me, you know.
What did your wife think, right? Like, that's a, I remember going through the conversation with my wife. I was working at the time, but we were 40K in debt. $1,000 credit limit credit card showed up, which is all I had. And the course was $697. He insisted he was raising the price, and he did. And, you know, I spent $1,000 we didn't have, as we were already 40K in debt on this. And it was a conversation of like, hey, just trust me here. I have to take this leap. If it doesn't, I'll go back to whatever. I'll do whatever we need to do to be what I need to be for this family. But this feels right now. What did that conversation look like for you with your wife? And what was her reaction?
Very, very similar. She was very supportive. I mean, I was staying home with our 1-year-old daughter at the time. So that was while she was working. So it was, I was like stay-at-home dad, so we didn't have to pay for childcare. So that was helpful for her. And then, you know, when I wasn't with her, I was working on the business and just is going hard. But my wife's been very supportive. I've been very, very lucky that way. You know, without her support, I don't think this would have been able to happen. So very but grateful
let's
push for it
that. Further, right? You needed her support to buy one course. Then you stumbled on our course. You needed her support to buy another course, right? And somewhere in there, you said, I'm going to buy some consulting from BK, which I don't offer a cheap price here because I want to do it as sparingly as possible. I want to get more people where I can group coach them. And you invested there too. So like, how did that go over? How did the, you know, each step along the way, you wanted to invest even more into your business. Did that go over just as well with your spouse, or was there challenges there?
No, I mean, it was okay. We had some money, so it wasn't as dire as it could have been, but I was planning on spending maybe 10 or 12 K on a launch course to get into software development or something like that anyway. So instead of investing it there, I was kind of investing it with this, where I felt like it would have, I just didn't want to do, I wasn't sure about investing that in anything else, but this, I felt like it was the right thing to do. And I think she did too. For some reason, we both just kind of knew that like, this is what I needed to do. And there wasn't a lot of friction around it. So it really,
well, let's find
really
some actual friction in your business then. Cause certainly people listening, someone's thinking, oh, I don't know if my wife would be as receptive as John's wife was, but there's going to be a struggle somewhere. Right. And for you, I think it came right away in the form of Google. Can you touch on like, you know, how you struggled early on and like, you know, there's going to be many ways that you will struggle early on or be scared to call suppliers or whatever it may be, where a lot of people quit. That's the reality of it. Like a lot of people quit. And so can you talk about some of your struggles and really why you kept pushing on?
Yeah. I mean, looking back, it was a huge struggle. I'm pretty surprised that I stuck it out as long to get here. I'm really grateful that I did, but I mean, within 2 or 3 days of running ads, I was suspended and, ended up getting unsuspended 6 weeks later, but immediately after my merchant center was unsuspended, my ads were suspended. And it was saying because my GMC was. So there's a weird bug, and that took months and months for it to finally get rectified. But all the while I was running ads in Bing and, you know, making a sale a week, you know, getting maybe 4 or 5K in sales a month. And that was enough to kind of keep me going. You get that one sale a week and you're like so stoked, you know, it was such an endorphin rush that I was like, I know there's something there. And of course, my first sale was one of the highest margin items that I have. So I made, you know, like $400 profit on that first one. So I was like, okay, like this actually works. Like I barely spent any money in ads. I think I made my first sale within 4 days of running ads on Bing. So that was a huge encouragement, you know, and just, you know, just listening to the podcast and going through the course and just trying to make the business better every single day. I knew that there was potential there. And once I got Google back on board, you know, I was going to finally see what the real potential of the business would be. Cause at that point it just felt like I was doing it with both hands behind my back and just totally handicapped. So, it was a lot of struggle, just days and weeks without any sales. I think the first month of July, the first 11 days of July, I had zero sales, you know? So like going into the live event, which I went to end of July, I was like, not sure about this, but you know, the business started getting really taking off around the end of July, beginning of August. So it's just wild for me to think about like going 11 days without a sale, where now it's like, you know, if I go 1 day without a sale, I'm like, what's going on? So a very, very
days
different.
Where you're like already booked a ticket to Minneapolis to come hang out with us. And you're probably having some doubts in your head. Somewhere along the line, you purchased some consulting from me. Right. And we stumbled into what I thought was a really big opportunity for SEO, and you stumble. I told you to do something and you didn't do it for a month, even though you're paying me a large amount of money, you didn't do it for a month. Can you talk to me about like that struggle and where else maybe that has shown up in your journey along the way of like the real battles in between your ears, right? There's no shortage of tactical information, especially in our course, there's hundreds of videos. And so it's not like you don't know what to do, let alone you paid me thousands of dollars to tell you what to do, exactly tell you what to do, and you still didn't do it for 30 days. Can you talk through some of that mental battle?
Well, to be fair, I think we did stumble on that, and you were like, oh, like this is potentially really huge. Like you should definitely do that. And then we were kind of went into some other things, and then I didn't, it wasn't really firmly planted in my mind. And then I think that maybe the next coaching call we had, you were like, the only thing you should be focused on are these new, these keywords, these new products that are coming out, you know? So you just always have a lot to work on, and it's hard to really like identify the opportunities until someone's like grabbing your shoulders and being like, dude, this is super important. You need to focus on this, you know, because there's just so many different things, your emails and your ads and your other blogs to write. And you know, it's hard to hone in on what can really drive the most results and like which levers are most important to pull like in those moments. So with you being there and telling me like, don't worry about XYZ, like just all I did was write blogs for 3-4 weeks, you know, cranking out like 2 or 3 a week. It's been like 12 hours a day, just like writing and editing and getting them uploaded. And I'm really glad I did that because I was the only one writing about any of these keywords. And it took months for my competition to catch up. And I have multiple articles that are number one in Google now that are driving sales. And like, you know, I see conversions happening because of having those articles up. So super, super grateful that A, that my supplier came up with all these new products, and B, I took the initiative to actually do what you finally told me to do and get this going, you know?
Yeah. Look, I'd seen it before, and that's the only reason it like clicked in my head. I saw a pattern, and that's what humans are, right? We see patterns, we connect dots. And so I'd seen this before. So to give reference to someone listening, John had a huge brand, right? Huge, huge brand, who had everything named A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We'll call it that, right? And they were going to move everything to now naming it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so when you have these huge brands, you've heard me on the show say, versus keywords are your best friends in the beginning. Most people aren't hitting these bottom level keywords. When you have big brands, everyone's hitting those keywords, right? So we could go to Google and find A versus B, B versus D, A versus C. They were all there. Everything was done. Kind of discouraging, if I'm honest with you, because I could tell you to write those, but you know, you have to go fight all of the other people you're competing against who have already done all of this work, which happens a lot in huge brands or big industries. And then you just said, hey, it's going to actually be named this in a month. And I went, it's just the pattern went off in my head. I'm like, oh, seen this pattern before with a different brand. And we went and searched 1 verse 3, right? 2 verse 7. And none of them were there. And so I apologize if I didn't iterate it fast enough for you, but like immediately I was like, you have to go do this today. So I'm so glad that you took action because it really changed your business, right? You were doing like 10K mm-hmm. a month at that point in revenue. And mm-hmm. a couple months later, you know, here we are in November with a 300K month. And a lot of that is due to those articles being number one for these bottom of the funnel terms that I've preached over and over and over again on this podcast to go after. And you know, you just happen to be at the right place at the right time and, you know, do the work. Like you, if you didn't do the work, we wouldn't be talking to you. I can give you the advice all day long, but you did the work. And so, I'm sure there were some struggles along the way. Like, can you talk a little bit about like any of the mental struggles that you went through? Like, you know, calling suppliers, niche selection, building the website, dealing with brands. Heck, I think you even like are, like friends with a competitor at this point. You guys kind of bounce ideas. You call him your mentor, even though he's like one of your competitors, which is strange. Can you talk through any of the struggles that you went through so someone listening to this can, you know, hopefully understand that you're a real dude who struggled with real things. It's not just like the world gifted you with this amazing business and you have all of this amazing talent. Because that's no offense, but that's not true. Just like,
no,
you did the work.
Yeah, I mean, I literally didn't know what SEO was a year ago. Like a little over a year ago, I had to learn what that was and research it. I had to just really dive headfirst into this entire market. And like, I would go weeks without even using a laptop working as a brewer, you know, like I would do all the inventory and ordering and stuff, but like I was not sitting in front of a computer day in, day out. So like the struggle was just like learning how to efficiently use a computer. And like, we'll struggle with it on our Zoom calls occasionally. Like, I don't know how to share my screen or something like that, you know? So like, I am just like a regular dude with a below average aptitude for computer technology stuff. But like what I am able to do is I have a writing and I went to school for journalism, you know, so I have a writing background. So like, I think writing blogs comes really easily to me. I actually kind of enjoy it. And then, you know, using that, whatever other skills I have to my advantage, like customer service isn't my most favorite thing in the world, but like I do have a lot of experience just like working at Trader Joe's and like dealing with hundreds of customers every single day and learning how to talk to people. You know, like a lot of your day, if you're lucky, is you're on the phone talking to people all day. So you need to learn how to do the customer service aspect of it. Like at first I thought, oh, this would be hiding behind a laptop and making a bunch of money from home. But it's really like you're out there, whether you're in person or not, like you're on the phone, you're emailing, you're talking constantly to people, you know, whether it's a supplier or a customer or a potential supplier or something like that. So you really need to put yourself out there and get outside your comfort zone. And that's what I've been doing. I kind of feel totally overwhelmed some days, and other days, you know, you can go about your business and your business is kind of just working in the background. So calling suppliers wasn't too bad for me. Most of them were yeses, so I was pretty fortunate there. You know, I didn't struggle as much in that department. It was really the Google thing was just such a bummer to be suspended 3 times in a row, you know? So once we got through that, it's still a fear in the background that any moment that can always get taken away. But so far so good.
Speaking of, it can all go away tomorrow. That is a fear that a lot of people have. And one resource we brought to this community is my coach, Elliot Rowe, hands down the greatest mindset coach in the world, has now brought his team to us. So Valentina, a member of his coaching tree, is going to be in our course in 2024. Again, if you're listening to this, when this comes out, this is your last chance to get in at a severely discounted price. The end of the year sale is running right now. We're raising our prices in the new year because in part of John and I putting a bunch of new content in there and Leighton Taylor putting content in there, Valentina is going to put some content in there, and you're fortunate enough to work with her directly. Can you speak to Valentina and how she's helped you work through some of these, it's all going away tomorrow type stories that we tell ourselves? Even, you know, most of them aren't true, right? It's just like some fears and our subconscious trying to keep us safe. What has working with Valentina been able to help you with?
Yeah, I mean, she's been incredible. I actually have a call with her in an hour. We go into everything, like all the different fears, all the different emotions and anxieties that you might have about your business and just really in life, and like what is holding you back from feeling good about what you're doing and what's keeping you from taking action on things that you have all these irrational fears around, that when you really think about it and take a step back from a different perspective, you can understand that these are just objective emotions and ideas that aren't real and are, you might feel like you're in danger almost at times, but it's really just all in your head. It's not a real physical threat to you. You know, it's just this, the idea of like taking those negative emotions and putting them somewhere else and being able to look at them and identify that they're not you, they're something separate to you, you know, and not letting it consume you to the point where you can't like go about your day and work and perform on a higher level or somewhere that you're capable of functioning on, you know, like opening up those opportunities and those, just the capability of being able to do more than what you're doing, I think is what I'm really focused on with her. It's been awesome.
Working with Elliot is hands down the biggest lever I've ever pulled in any part of my life. It has changed who I am. It's the reason I'm talking to you on this podcast right now. It's life changing, right? And so, shout out to Valentina. Tell her when you talk to her shortly here to say she'll be on the screen here soon. I hope to get her on the podcast. Right. She'll definitely be in the course in 2024. She's amazing. And, you know, if you're in the course or when you join the course, you'll see her. Her and Elliot's talk at our Minneapolis event will be in the course probably in the next few weeks as well. Look, I want to ask you a couple more questions and we'll wrap this up. Like, how do you feel like you think differently? So I know you're only a year into this, less than a year into this, but how do you feel you think differently today compared to like when you first started dropshipping? Is there something that stands out?
I think the main thing is education and investing in yourself and realizing that you're your own best asset. I mean, I have a college degree, but I never honestly really thought about it the way I do now, like investing in yourself and really being targeted about the kind of information that you're ingesting and how to use that in your day-to-day life to better yourself, and like how you don't just have to be a worker drone. You can build something that will support you and your family and give you independence. That's really been huge. It's just opened up my world and my ideas to so many different things that I wasn't really aware of. And I was just kind of mired in the day-to-day minutia of working, you know, which is super hard to get out of. And, you know, I've been fortunate to be able to take a step out of that and just focus on this 100%. But, you know, like when I went from working at Trader Joe's to brewing, I was homebrewing it on the weekends and going through all the information on there to try to desperately get out of Trader Joe's because I didn't want to work, you know, in a dairy cooler or work in a cash register anymore. So it was, I put myself 100% into that, and I was working in the brewery and at Trader Joe's at the same time, working 50-60 hour weeks, and did that for months at a time before I was able to actually transition out of Trader Joe's and into brewing. And it's the same thing with this, you know, you just got to put in the work and educate yourself, and then eventually you can transition out of what you're doing and get into the, you know, the business full time or whatever it is you want to do. So just having that mindset and that awareness that there is something better out there than what you're currently doing, you know. Take the plunge.
Thank you for selling the course. Like, it is interesting when you step out and you look back, and it's like in my mind's eye, it's a box. I'm stepping out and I can see my old life and like the limiting beliefs that held me in this place that I couldn't do better. I shouldn't, like, I didn't know anyone who did better. People that did do better were just these mythical figures, right? And they were up on a pedestal for me. They must be different than me. And now I'm out and I'm kind of looking back at like where I was, and it's mind blowing to realize, number one, you were your own limit, right? It was just the actions you weren't taking and the knowledge you weren't seeking. But also just, it's crazy to be a different person and kind of look back and you're only like a sliver into this journey. And I can't wait to watch you blossom.
Thanks, man.
Just watch you, you know, step into whatever version of you is going to be, you know, 5 years from now. Like, you're going to be a different person. Entrepreneurship is the greatest self-development program there is. So there's a lot of work that you're going to do in yourself in this process too, and it'll be fun to watch. Last question for you. What would you say to someone just starting today? There's a lot of people listening, and I mean a lot. We are in the top 100 in the entrepreneurship category, and certainly we don't see the same numbers coming in the course. So there's a lot of people lurking right now who are thinking about starting. What would you say to them?
I would just say you get what you put into it, you know? So if you're thinking about doing it, you really got to look at it as like a long-term play. It's not a get rich quick thing. You know, there's a lot of work, but the rewards are real, you know. Like, I was doing 5,000 in sales a month, like 6 months ago. And then I just had a $300,000 month. Like, it's pretty incredible to see if you put in the time and the effort, and maybe a little luck there too, but you know, there's the potential for sure is there. Like, hearing John talk about how he did 300,000-400,000 in his first year of business, and me being at like 15,000-20,000 total within my first 6 months, I had no idea how that would even be possible, you know? And now being where I am now and seeing where I was just 6 months ago, it was always there, you know? The potential is always there, and you just have to do the effort and make it work. And it's, if it doesn't work out right away, just start something else and learn from those mistakes and just keep pushing, you know, because this does work. I mean, Ben's not paying me to be here. Like, this is seriously just, I just did what they told me to do in the course and did some consulting and stuff and got a little faster on the track doing that. But I mean, if you just listen to the podcast, even, you know, you get a lot of value from just doing that. So.
Well, I'm excited to have you back next December when you're like, I did 3 million last year to 300,000. And like, I'm positive you're going in that direction. You're in a very fun industry for me that I feel like is ready to explode. And so I'm excited for you, buddy. I can't wait to have you on here again. If you're watching on video, John is about as white as I have ever seen him. I think he is just, he's struggling to even be on camera right now with the flu. So kudos to you for hopping on here today. Thank you so much, buddy. And I can't wait to do this again.
No problem, man. Thanks so much for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.